moving into number 13. Cougar Rules, briefing and public hearing. Anise will join us momentarily.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Let me bring it up, I guess, first. So I was just commenting that I'm agenda number 13 on Friday the 13th, and I'm staying in room 2213. Good thing I'm not a suspicious person. Okay, so today I'm going to be covering the Cougar Rule. As all of you are well aware, this has been a contentious issue, and we've heard a lot of comments with regard to this rule. Perhaps. I'll wait till he's done. Director, did you want to preface this presentation with any words, or did you want me to just launch right in?
13 things to say.
Yeah, not after your 13 comments, but yeah. Better I don't. I just wanted to put a general stage on this for folks that we've heard a lot already, and we know we're going to hear more about reducing cougar populations, about public safety issues. This is really around the recreational hunting aspect. When we were in Eastern Washington last year, we heard loud and clear from folks to exercise that. I frankly thought we might be able to go further. When we really looked at this, our ability to make adjustments in this year without going through an elaborate process, which I'm not saying we shouldn't do, but wasn't going to be doable by this hunting season. So these are all proposals that would add flexibility for you all to choose from on harvesting cougars that stay within our existing game management plan. That was a conscious decision. We talked about it in previous groups here. I just remind folks that was just that, a conscious decision to stay within those sideboards. If we go beyond that, that's another discussion. I'm not trying to preclude that discussion. It's just in a different framework.
Great. Thank you, Director. So as the director mentioned, we're staying within the confines of our game management plan, and the game management plan states that we'll manage for stable cougar population in each PMU and provide recreational opportunity at a 12-16% annual harvest rate of cougar populations, excluding kittens. So just to maybe reiterate what our current season structure is we have an early season that starts September 1st and ends December 31st. During that season, there is no guidelines, so basically the harvest is not limited. In our late season, January 1st through April 30th is where our guideline comes into play, and those units that have reached or exceeded the guideline, we can close those units to harvest. And then an illegal weapon can be used in both seasons. Each hunt area or PMU has a harvest guideline that's based on 12-16% of the cougar population, excluding kittens. And then starting January 1st, we can close units. And our recreational harvest only is what counts towards the guideline.
So you use the word may or can close. Generally, if you feel like you're running up against that number in a GMU, do you always generally close it, or is there?
So it's It's called a guideline for a reason. It's not a set quota. So we could close it and we could keep it open. We look at a lot of different things. So is there a lot of incidental take, like through depredation,
right,
and other things? And then, yeah, we weigh a lot of things. Are there a lot of adults versus sub-adults being taken? A lot of things go into it. But generally, if we exceeded the guideline, we would usually close the unit.
Thank you.
So basically, again, we manage cougars on a PMU level with 50 PMUs statewide. Some of them are a combination of GMUs. Some of them are encompassed one GMU. And then basically just maybe the way we estimate how many cougars are in an area is we apply a statewide density. We multiply that by the amount of habitat in the PMU. We come up with a population estimate based on that, and then we apply 12-16%. So 12 is the lower bounds of the guideline, and 16 is the highest bound of the guideline.
Pardon me, Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the briefing that you provided us last October, there was some question about the scientific uncertainty, and 12 to 16% seemed pretty solid. The density was a little more, well, was more uncertain. Can you remind us what is the range of densities that it goes into using the median or the mean that we'll see a little bit later?
Sure. So the range of densities is between, I'm 1.5 and 3.228 or something to that effect that we have here in Washington. Now, there are densities in other states that are higher than that, that could get into the 4. And again, I'm talking about adult and subadult cougars only.
And how many different estimates between 1.5 and 3.25 do you have? A large number or a small number?
So we use 5 studies along, and then some of those studies are 3 years, and some of those studies are 5 years. So there's a lot of data points that go into that. They're not all into one. So you're talking probably 20 to 25 data points that are coming up with that estimate. Again, I'm trying to remember all the points on a graph. I don't have that right here at my fingertips, but it's roughly that. So this graph just basically shows cougar harvests since 1979, and as you can see, there are periods of high harvest, and then more recently, harvest has been increasing in Washington. But the highest harvest has been around 300. And most of that high harvest has been outside of the when we had hound huntings, just to clarify some of that. Okay, so as I mentioned, I'll mention again, we've given some options that can give you some decision space, but all of these recommendations, there's no change in the season dates. So basically, there would still be an early season and a late season, and then any weapon can be used. So those did not change from previous recommendations. So option one is very similar to status quo, but we use the median density instead of the mean. And so the mean of those research projects was 2.2 and the median is 2.34. So it's not a big departure, but it does change things a little bit. So I wanted to make sure that people were aware of that. And then the median is a better measure because it does not take into consideration the outliers in the data. And so if there is a low one and a high one, it usually doesn't influence the median as much as it would the mean. So when comparing with the mean, there is a potential to add about 32 cougars to the entire guideline statewide. And those are only one cougar per unit on 32 units. So it sounds like a large number, but when you look at it unit by unit, it's only one cougar on any given unit. And that's kind of how it plays out. You can see it's just one. So this is just to give you a feel for it. You don't have to read all of them, but basically it adds 32 cougars to the guideline entirely. So the second recommended option is basically similar to one, using the median. But using the median just of adult cougars, so not including subadult cougars. So that median is 1.91 instead of 2.34. And so what that does is actually reduces the guideline slightly, but you also don't count subadults towards the guideline when they're harvested either. So there is actually a potential for increased harvest under this guideline because about 30% of our harvests are subadults. So basically, when compared with option one, it does reduce the guideline by 51 on the high end, but it has a potential for increased harvest, as I mentioned, because about 30%, 73 cougars, in the current harvest consist of subadults. So even though it does reduce the guideline, there's a potential for higher harvest. Again, this just shows kind of where the reductions are taking place. They're ones and twos. And then they add up to 51 cougars overall. So recommendation number three is more reactive to those areas that have had high harvest or have had high conflict. And usually conflict and harvest kind of go hand in hand when they're high. So option three basically adjusts the guidelines upward in 19 units that exceeded the guideline by December 31st, at least once in the last 5 years. The new guideline is based on the highest harvest in the past 5 years. And in this option, there's an assumption that the density is higher in these areas. So I do want to iterate, we're not saying that density is higher in those areas because we don't know, but the assumption is that it is based on past harvest and based on some of the other conflict and other things we hear from the public. There are two PMUs where when we applied the higher level, it would have actually exceeded the research we've seen in the West. So it would have exceeded like the four cougars per 100 square kilometers. So we actually backed those down so they're within a more realistic parameter. This guideline includes adults and sub-adults. So it's similar to basically how we hunt now. It's just higher in those 19 PMUs. So these are the 19 PMUs. As I mentioned, there's two PMUs where if we went by the higher harvest, it would have been a lot more. We would have been assuming a lot higher density. So basically, if we use 17 in PMU 121, we would have been assuming a density of 5.8 cougars per 100 square kilometers. And if we use the 18 in the series of PMUs that start with 149, we would have been assuming 7.28 cougars per 100 square kilometers. And we know that from all the research in the West that cougar densities just don't get that high. So basically, this table just kind of shows the options and then how this could increase the total number in the guidelines. So basically, option one, there would be 293. Option two, basically 242, but a potential for higher harvest. And then option three would have a guideline of 346 as the higher end of the guideline, which is 53 cougars higher in guideline than option one, because that's the one it's similar to. So option four is kind of a mix and match. So it's similar to both option two and option three. Because it does use the highest harvest, as I mentioned, in the past 5 years, but it also only includes subadults in the harvest and in the calculation of density. So it's kind of a hybrid of a couple of them. And that one, again, when compared with option two, also increases harvest by 53 cougars in the guideline. So I've done some analyses to look at what that looks like when you maybe extrapolate with into harvest. And so that's what this table shows, and I'll go through some of that. So basically what I did is I compared it with the current, and then I projected what the harvest would be. So option one, there's a it adds 32 cougars to the guidelines, and there's a potential to harvest 15 additional cougars statewide from the current system. And then similarly, option two, it actually reduces the guideline, but there's a potential for harvesting 62 additional cougars statewide. And then oddly enough, option two and option three end up in the same place when it gets to harvest. It adds 85 cougars to the guideline, but there's still only a potential of 62 additional cougars being harvested. And then option four has the potential for the most harvest, basically because you're not counting the sub-adults and because you're adding those changes. It adds 34 cougars to the guideline, but there's a potential for 129 additional casts to be harvested under this option. And then the last one just kind of gives you a feel of what a statewide perspective would be if you applied the 2.34 as the median and then looked at harvest in that way. So if we said we apply 2.34 statewide and we harvested at this rate, what percentage of the whole state are we harvesting? And so as you see, option one, on the low end, it's 9% of the population. On the high end, it's 12%. And then option two, it gets to the 14% range, similarly with option three. And option four does climb into that 17%. Obviously, that's at the higher end of the harvest spectrum. And then so some summary of comments. We got 177 online comments. 52% of those responded generally agreed with the our recommendations. 34 responded generally disagreed, and 14% were neutral. So as you can see, the neutral on this one was a lot fewer than the neutral on some of the other ones where people didn't feel they needed to weigh in. We did receive 555 emails and one letter. 532 of those were a form letter that basically just opposed predator hunting, and were not general to the specifics of the rule. And then 8 were in favor of at least one of the proposed options. The rest fell into basically 3 camps: those that wanted no cougar hunting, and those that wanted more cougar hunting, and then there were those that wanted no change to cougar hunting. So that's kind of where people that disagreed with our recommendation, they fell into those 3 camps. So we received many comments about hound hunting. We always do when we open cougar or bear rules. So I thought it would be good to mention that. And then only 33 people picked an option when they weighed in, whether they agreed or disagreed. And this is kind of how the voting came out, that those that did pick an option. Option 1 had 21%, option 2 had 3%, option 3, 36%, and option 4, 39%. That's the presentation. I'm glad to take some questions.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This question is going to get back to the range of options that are open to the commission to decide in April. And last October, we asked that you have a look at modeling out the coalition's proposal, and also to model out a general seasonal approach that did not have a harvest guideline. In December in Bellingham, the material brought forward to the Wildlife Committee had a option D1, which was a general season approach without a harvest guideline. And that's not showing up in the options here. And so I wondered if you could speak to why that's the case.
Certainly, and I think that the director hit on it initially, is we stayed with options that fall within our game management plan, and our game management plan does not allow for a general season option that has no guideline.
Okay, and one other question. One of your slides there has a 17%, option 4, 17% something.
Yeah. Is this the one?
There it is. So there's a 12 to 16% range that we talked about having some fairly solid science to it. The density, though, was the one that has highly uncertain science. So if you modified the expectation of the density, this could still fall within 12 to 16%. Would that math be right?
Yeah, you're totally correct, and that's why I said this is only if you assume a density of 2.34 animals statewide. So yeah, if density were higher, obviously we wouldn't be recommending an option that doesn't assume higher density, and then that 12 to 16% would still be valid within those.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, we will move on to the public comment segment. We have a lot of people here. I'm going to call you up two at a time, if I may. First one is Donald J. Malley, and then Dale Maggard. I want to mention that to Mr. Malley's, there's a note with a bunch of names. Are you speaking for all of these people?
I'm going to be in introducing them as a group.
As a group?
Well, that's the, I believe what you have there is the Northeast Washington Wildlife Group.
Okay.
I would have to see your, I can't see it from here.
If I may.
Well, come and see it then, because what I've got
Al,
is...
Al can answer that.
Okay, Al, go ahead, please answer.
There's a number of people that are going to speak, and we put them in a specific order, and all of those people, if there happened to be someone on there that didn't show up, just pass that name, but we want them called up in that order.
Okay, I see that many of you individually have sheets in there, and we'll go through them accordingly as they're listed. Okay, Donald.
Good afternoon, Mr. Director and Commissioners. Thank you for giving us the time after such a busy day to giving testimony to you. My name is Don Molly. I am here to bring to you the testimony of more than 1,500 people from Northeast Washington that want their voices heard but could not be here in person. These voices are in the form of an 11-question questionnaire in a yes or no format and a comment section along with a signature line. I am also presenting a petition given to the Stevens County Sheriff and County Commissioners. This commission, or the, excuse me, this petition has 600 signatures and was raised in only a few days because people were so disgusted with the attitude of the local game department and their refusal to dispatch marauding and problem cougars. The department people were totally indifferent to the loss of livestock, pets, and public safety. Both of these stacks of compiled data are nonpartisan, non-biased, non-weighted, and have been put out to the public at large in very public locations like churches, stores, and flyers in newspapers. You will note the many folded questionnaires. These are all ones that people actually made the effort to fill out, stamp, and mail in order to be able to make their voice heard. The very science of probability would dictate that all of these voices cannot be wrong. I might add that both signature packages were funded by generous people that have given their time, talent, and treasure to provide to you with truthful and non-biased information. That being said, people from Northeast Washington Wildlife Group will follow me and present to you very valuable, factual, and substantiated information. This information, again, was gathered by volunteers that gave unselfishly of their time and money for the past year to make this available to you. Please give them the courtesy of giving them time to finish their presentation. This is not too much to ask, given that the public safety issue was brought to your attention in Technicolor last March meeting in Spokane. A year later, and the problem escalates. I would ask you to look at question 10 of the questionnaire and the astounding percentage answering yes. These are people armed with a firearm or very lethal bow. Who the hell does this to children? This is a question that the public demands an answer for. The following testimonies will substantiate that WDFW policies are in fact producing a predator breeding program. This I formally submit for the 1,500 aforementioned people to the public records of the state of Washington this 13th day of March 2020.
Do you have any questions? Commissioner Kehoe.
I have a question.
Yes. Which of the four options before you that the department has put forward, do you support,
none
if any?
None of the above.
Okay. And what would you, what would you want to see?
Rather than me using up our time, there will be a fellow following that will give you a proposal.
Fair enough.
And that will save us some time. Any other questions?
Go ahead, Dale.
My name is Dale Maggard. And I'd like to answer that question for Don just a little bit, but I can do it real brief. I think I said I had two options the first time I spoke up here as far as cougar management, wildlife management goes. With that said, my name is Dale Maggard, and thank you, Commissioners and Director. And I have the privilege of presenting to you the results of the wildlife survey that Don has told you about. You will later be provided with a blank survey, a survey with a numerical breakdown. The bar graph, we didn't get around to the bar graph, but we had some bar graphs that would have been nice on the screen. But if they're like that and like that for your visual. And also copies of a sampling of comments from the surveys. Boxes like this were placed in 25-plus locations, including farm stores, auto parts stores, taverns, one sporting goods store, a pawn shop, bars, restaurants, convenience stores, ATV dealers, etc. Now, we had 60 people testify at last March's meeting, and I would like you to consider something. I am allocated 3 minutes. I'm honored to represent over 1,050 people that took this survey. If they were here at 3 minutes apiece, it would take over 50 hours to hear them all. So here is their testimony. Here are the 11 questions. Do you believe there are too many cougars in Northeast Washington? Yes, 93%. Do you believe the number of cougars present a public safety issue? Yes, 90%. Are cougars adversely affecting the deer population and deer hunting? Yes, 93%. Four, has there been an increase in wolf and cougar presence in your area? Yes, 94%. Have you or anyone you know been in an uncomfortable position because of wolf or cougar presence? Yes, 85%. Have you or anyone you know had animals attacked or harassed by wolves or cougars? 85%. Seven, did you know in 2014, the last year of the antler point restriction, GMU 121 had the highest hunter success rate of all Northeast Washington? No, 66% that didn't know it, 34 yes. Eight, do you support a 4-point APR on whitetails for all hunters except youth to improve age structure and create a more mature deer herd? Here's your public input that you're talking about all the time, that we got to have before you can change anything. 75% said yes. Nine, do you support no antlerless harvest until our deer numbers recover? Yes, 77%. Does fear for your child's or other youth's safety due to predators create a barrier to introducing them to hunting? Yes, 59%. Please consider that a lot of these no votes are probably people that don't have kids or don't even hunt anymore. 11, have you considered not buying a big game hunting license for 2020? 74% said yes. And there were a lot of comments down on the bottom on this one here about this, about going out of state, not buying until the predators are brought under control, or have already not purchased a license for 1, 2, 3 years, whatever. So these are from concerned citizens that took the time, as Don said, to fill out the survey. Many wrote a comment. Or third or so addressed an envelope, used a stamp, and mailed it. You might want to listen to them. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you, Dale. Next two are Wes McCart and Al March.
Commissioners, Director, for the record, my name is Wes McCart. I'm a Stevens County Commissioner. I do want to give you just a minute of my background. I do hold a Bachelor's of Science degree in biomathematics, with my emphasis being in biostatistics and population genetics. So when I talk about populations and mathematical numbers, I'm not totally out in left field. I'm not the typical politician on that particular subject. I also want you to know that I and Paula Swedeen got together several years ago, met with then Representative Hans Dunshi to try and come up with some ideas on public safety for cougars, of which the department convened meetings. The working dog bill that was passed last year was part of that. It is not the end-all, be-all solution whatsoever, but I have stayed involved in that conversation since we started it probably some close to 5 years ago now. I realize that what we're here today to talk about is recreational harvest numbers for the cougars, but I want us to be thinking about cougars in two different ways. One is the recreational harvest numbers, but it's also the public safety. If our numbers are as high as I suspect they are in our area, and the data prove that out, then we have more than a recreational, well, the density's doubled, we need to stay within 12 to 16% harvest levels. That's fine for hunting opportunities, but that's still not addressing the public safety issue. And responding to calls of dead livestock or, God forbid, a hurt child or a killed child is not what I want to do as county commissioner, and I hope that's not what you want to do as commission members. We have to address this cougar population head on. The four options that you've given us today are hunting opportunities, recreational opportunities. They basically, none of them change the numbers scientifically, statistically, significantly. Therefore, I would like you to listen to the approach that we're given. There'll be a letter later from the Board of County Commissioners presented where we support the idea of changing this entire harvest numbers limit upside down so that we're worried about how many cougars we can sustain as a population rather than wondering how many cougars we actually have. One size all does not fit the answer. I spend an enormous amount of time, my time, on an average, varies from week to week, dealing with cougar issues. I find this, as a county commissioner, unacceptable. Realistically, if the department is supposed to be managing these critters, and you guys are supposed to be responsible for managing these critters, why am I spending so much of my time answering calls from people who have their animals dead, worried about their children, getting petitions, and any number of things that are going on as a county commissioner? If I have to continue to spend this much time as a county commissioner, I'm wondering why I need you guys or the department at all. I don't want to be in that position. Please don't make me go there. I want to also turn to the economics in the county. What's going on? Because of the predator base being so large in our county, conservatively, we estimate that we're losing about $600,000 per day during the hunting seasons. Well, I figured out what the sales tax is on that $600,000. It's approximately $9,000 a day in sales tax loss. That means in 6 days, I've lost, as a county, more than I can make up in authority for 1% tax property tax increase. So in order to run county government, you're forcing us to raise the property tax to a maximum 1%, and we are still unable to sustain the losses due to the lost revenue coming into the county because predators are not being managed properly. That's also in addition to the loss that we see hotel motel. The sheriff officer calls that he has to respond with a deputy, which I would say probably relates to about one officer per day, every day. We also have a wildlife officer that we hired. Yes, we hired that person for the wolf issue. Yes, that person spends an enormous time on the wolf issue, and we do get some reimbursement from the state on the wolf. But I'll tell you right now that he spends about 50% of his time also dealing with cougars, and that money comes out of our pockets as a county. So if you add up the additional cost we've had dealing with wildlife and the predator base, I could easily say that that number is in the neighborhood of about $200,000 a year. That's right out of our pockets. Now, that's on top of the lost revenue that we have as a county. The petitions that you see in front of us have come to us. We hear these stories every day. And again, why are these petitions coming to us if we're not the ones responsible for managing? I also see the presentations that come in front of you today, and as you think about it as commissioners, and we talked about elk, we talked about deer, we talked about now cougars, we haven't talked about wolves or bears or other things like that today. but every single one of these presentations is done in a silo. And as government, we love to think about things in a silo. And I'm here to tell you, you need to tear down the silo. If you are not managing all these critters together in one ecosystem type function, we are continue to be up here advocating for too many predators, not enough deer, where are the hunting opportunities, over and over and over again. If you want a balanced system, and we all know it's a dynamic system, you're never going to have 100% balance. But you now have sine curves of these populations doing this instead of doing this. They should be shallows up and down, not drastic up and downs. And I will tell you, based on the data that I'm looking at and having conversations with the folks and listening to the biologist, you're at a critical point right now where you run the risk of having a population crash. That's where you're at. And I don't say that lightly. I say that based on my background and being able to see what the numbers are and model those numbers. And you're on that edge right now. You have no idea what the numbers of cougars are out there on the landscape. So let's quit managing for a number we don't know, and let's start managing for a number that we want on the landscape so that it can be sustainable. That's where we need to do this. We need to turn this program upside down and manage for a sustainable population, not some imaginary population. The science that you're getting from these biologists, it's not peer-reviewed. You guys are changing wax. You're changing hunting seasons. And you're not using peer-reviewed science because you don't know what the numbers are. So let's turn it over. Again, I suggest that you really listen to the plan that you're going to be given later on in the presentations. And please do not force us as a county, like several other counties have done over the past, to say you no longer are doing the job. We've tried very hard to work with the director, Chief Bear, others, to try and make this work. But unless you can look at all of the predator numbers and start changing your approach to how this is done, we are considering whether or not we want to move that direction. Please don't force us to do that. Please take control of this situation and try and manage the population so that we have a dynamic, fruitful ecosystem. Thank you.
Any questions? Mr. March?
Okay, thank you, Director. Commissioners, I'm Al Martz. I'm going to talk about the number of cougars, or number of predators, excuse me, mainly cougars in Northeast Washington. I went over some of this last year, but it needs repeating. I will bore you with some numbers here, but I want to make a point. In the past several years, the department claimed the statewide cougar density was 2.0 per 100 square kilometers, or 6.2 miles square. Earlier this year, it was said that density across the state was 1 to 4, and 2.2 was used for simplicity. At the October commission meeting, you were told the new state average was 3.2, a 50% increase over last year. Looking back at 10 to 15-year-old studies in Northeast Washington, when we had far fewer cougars, densities were 1 to 5. With this science constantly changing to meet objectives, what does this tell you? After spending over $5 million, not counting the predator prey study, you have no idea how many cougars there are. Setting quotas at a density of 2 when it really is 4 or more, you have been compounding the growth of cougars for years. With a conservative density of 4, the cougar population in District 1 would be 468. With a realistic wolf number of 100 and kills of one ungulate a week for both, you have a total loss of 28,400 ungulates a year. Add in hunter harvest of 3,500 deer, along with bears, coyotes, dogs, poaching, disease, winter kill, and you easily have 34,000 deer, elk, and moose killed last year, of which over 80%, or 28,000, will be deer. With this, we don't have a sustainable deer population, as our harvest shows, dropping 5 years in a row and over 50%. Our whitetail are in serious decline, and our mule deer are about gone, and the wolves are destroying a moose population that took 40 years to build, and our elk will be next. Cougar numbers are at record highs. They're on people's porches, in schoolyards, in barns, and we have wolves and cougars being run over on the roads. We have a very real safety issue, and deer become fewer and fewer. As deer become fewer and fewer, cougars will turn more to cattle, sheep, dogs, kids' 4-H projects, and hopefully not our children. The four options to the cougar management plan are just minor changes to an already flawed plan. You can hardly call this new, as this plan will not solve anything. In closing, I want to read something put out by the department. Quote, "All the options that we put forward are designed with cougar conservation in mind. We don't want to harm any cougar populations, and we're trying to maintain our options within the science we know," end quote. So let's not harm our cougars and instead destroy our deer, elk, and moose populations. We have a very real problem, and the predator breeding program has created a predator pit that is very unsafe. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Any questions? Gary Duvier and Jethro Allen, please.
Thank you, Director, Chairman, Commissioners. We passed on, I think, a written form of this. I'm going to try to summarize this because there's going to be a lot of testimony today. But as I mentioned before, predator management is really the key for you to solve a lot of the conflicts that you guys are trying to resolve in terms of individuals, wildlife, and your revenues as we fight these issues. So I put together a number of questions, and I'll provide one of the answers to them. You might be asking, how did the Fish and Wildlife run the mountain caribou into the extinction? No predator management. They've been told for years, if we get those predators off of that, or we're going to lose them. We lost them. Why has the mule deer population disappeared in 3 out of 6 GMUs? No predator management. Why has the whitetail harvest dropped from 8 to 10 to 4,000? No predator management. Why has the number of hunters declined from 26,000 to 17,000? No predator management. Why have the cattle conflicts continued to increase every year? No predator management. The ungulate population, their food supply is gone. Why has the cougar complaints reached an all-time high? No predator management. I happened to stop in to get some information on call records at our sheriff's department yesterday. They've had 24 calls in so far this year in 70 days. So every 3 days, we're getting a cougar complaint that they have to address. The cougars are just totally out of control. Why have we had 6 to 12 car deaths on cougars in recent years? We've never had cars hitting cougars up until the last few years. And as Al pointed out, we have a quota of 37 for Northeast Washington District 1. And you ask top management, middle management, any of them, what's the population of our cougars up there? They all say, we don't know. And you say, well, how are you managing it if you don't know what the population is? And then you go further and you ask them, how'd you set 37 if you don't know what the population is? And then they start stuttering. But if you take 16% and divide it into the 37, as you guys all know, you get 231. So they have to know the population that they're trying to manage to before they set the quota. This last year, we harvested in many different ways from the hunters, from depredations, 170 cougars. We only have 231. And we've done that the last 2 years, and this year we're on a higher record for complaints and problems. And that's why I mentioned before that we put the predator-prey ratios in three of the plans so that they would follow policy. They could not overlook it, and they have. Now they're in the process of changing how you measure density, how you measure harvest. They're going to 5 years instead of 10 years. They're going to average, not rolling average. They're going to mean. They're doing everything they can to change the rules to get it down so that those policies are met. And if you look at the real numbers, they have missed it probably 5 out of the last 6 years. And now they're using the strategies of we can't do anything for 3 years. We got to do a study. Those are all reasons that they're just trying not to make a decision. And they're, as they're doing that, our wildlife is just going in the tank. And you guys are losing revenue, and you're getting more and more complaints. And now we're faced, I think, with a real serious safety issue. They're coming in the towns. They're coming in the schoolyards. As most of you know, I kind of took over and managed the Colville Fish Hatchery. We've shut it down twice this last year, locked the kids inside from going out because of predators on our property. And the other sounding schools, there's a number of them that have been in the same place where we shut down schools. Some of the rural school districts, they won't let kids go out to recess unless there's a teacher on cougar patrol and one on children patrol. It's a serious issue that you'll never hear from your staff. But it's time that you guys got to do something. And if we can help in any way, if you want more information, we'd be more than happy to meet or talk or do what we can, because we're really concerned, and you guys are our last effort. And the buck stops here today.
Jethro?
Well, there again, I'm just kind of piggybacking off of all these guys' testaments, but we do live, this is all of our, we live there, you know, like I said before, we can't even make this stuff up. It's out of control, it's already too late, we got to do something, and do something now, and it's with all ungulates and predators, and it's a real sad, because we had some pretty special in Northeast Washington for quite a few years, and now we have absolutely nothing left except for predators. So I'm hoping, I think a lot of us are hoping, that we can get some help from you guys at this point. That's all I really got to say.
Thank you, gentlemen. Frank Palmer and Ollie Burnett.
Frank Palmer, Stevens County, and yes, this is so much of this is so redundant, but I got to go through it again. Basically, is we have a crisis in Stevens County. Cougar conflicts with pets and livestock goes on and on. Cougars are in our yards killing pets and livestock, where children should be able to play without fear of being killed. Their prey has been diminished to the point they have no choice but to go into people's yards, kill livestock and pets. When we had hound hunting, they were kept under control. They were not in our yards killing pets and livestock. We had plenty of cougars. If the state issued everyone in Stevens County a cougar permit, it would still not solve the problem. We need to get hound hunting back, or we'll never see any change. And spending all this time and money on tracking collars, hazing, study, is not working. There was a cougar killed in Arden, Artman Gibson Road. Stevens County Sheriff got a call, cougar on a porch after their dog. And time they got there, the cougar was still there. They had to shoot it. This cougar had a collar, and had been chased around too, so, but it was still hanging around there. Cougar in California. Man and his daughter were hiking. Cougar come along and jumped on the little girl, and the guy threw a backpack at the cougar, and the cougar ran off. Otherwise, that three-year-old girl would have been killed. It's going to happen in our county, too, in the state. There are many, many deaths and conflicts with humans. As I see it, the fox is in charge of protecting the hen house. And you know, all these studies, looking at it, I just don't understand it. Why is it so important to protect these cougars? We've got to do something. And now, it used to be Department of Fish and Game. Now it's called the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. I actually think Washington Department of Predators is more appropriate. Thank you. Any questions?
Ollie?
Thank you. I grew up on land located 6 miles southeast of Chewila in the 50s and 60s, riding horses and helping my grandfather with his cows, with never a cougar confrontation. This continued in the 70s with my husband. In the 80s and 90s, our children roamed this area, sometimes camping as far away as a mile or more from our house, with never a cougar confrontation. In the beginning of 2000s, our grandchildren continued enjoying the land, with never a cougar confrontation. But because of your mismanagement of cougars, the growing number of wolves, and the elimination of hound hunting, it is no longer safe. Last year, our granddaughter's three 4-H pigs were killed by a cougar. Three of my horses were attacked and scratched by cougars. My cousin's donkey was killed by a cougar. And now, we have virtually no deer left. A WDFW officer informed us that the huge reduction in deer number was not because of the predators. Oh, no. He said the deer numbers were down because of a quote-unquote habitat problem. I really don't know what that means. The following is just a few of the recent incidents that we've experienced. January 13th, three cougars on our road about a mile from our house. January 20th, cougar tracks at a home near the Chewila schools. February 4th, two cougars were at the Valley School and the school was placed on lockdown. February 8th, we had cougar tracks in the field where we're calving. February 10th, two cougars seen on Huffman Road near the Valley School. February 11th, cougars at the Colville School. February 12th, cougar eliminated after not leaving a residence in Arden. February 14th, three cougars again seen on our road near our home and livestock. February 21st, six wolves at my cousin's house about a mile or so from us. February 24th, a collared cougar on our neighbor's porch about a mile and a half south of us. The collared cougar was pursued but not eliminated. March 1st, a cougar killed by a dog. The cougar was pursued the next day and attacked the hound, one of the hounds. March 7th, a cougar killed a doe about 1,000 feet from our home. March 11th, Danford Road. A dog was attacked by a cougar and had to have over 200 stitches. It's time to stop hazing and collaring the cougars to study them. Let the citizens run them with hounds instead of paying a few select townsmen to run them, tree them, collar them, and then repeat the process to see how the cougar reacts. Your officers have informed us that they can't do anything because, quote unquote, well, the cougar didn't kill anything this time. And I just wonder, are you waiting for another person to be killed like the bicycler was before any action is taken to keep us safe? This has become an emergency. The cougar population needs to be drastically reduced. You need to protect the citizens, not the predators. At this time, you're not acting in the best interests of the citizens who live here. Thank you.
Thank you, folks. Jeannie Becker and Travis Willie. Go ahead, Jeannie.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Becker, both Lincoln and Stevens County. Years ago, a friend told me that they were going to do away with hound hunting. He said if they do this, it will cause an overpopulation of cougars. There will be a problem. My friend was right. We now have an overpopulation of cougars, and they are causing an obvious reduction in wildlife. Farm animals and pets are being killed, and our children are at risk. Here's just a few comments from the NWWM group survey Dale mentioned earlier. I have to carry a gun just for a walk now. Think sightings of cougars by the house. Afraid for grandchildren and pets, Deborah Gibbons. I'm an owner of a logging company. Up until 15 years ago, I had only seen two cougars. I now see them regularly, and they are not afraid of me, my crew, or equipment. I have had them in my backyard twice in the last 2 years. Joel Duvall. Lost my girls 3 pigs from the fair in 2019 for cougars, by cougars. Joe Zolman. The only thing that can help the deer recover is to get rid of the dam wolves and cut down on the cougar. Open season on both of them. Does some child have to be killed before you do anything? The deer herds are literally gone. Predators, wolves and cougars, eat meat. When the game is gone, they still eat meat. And our pets, livestock, and children are all just meat to them. Judy Martz. We have had 13 cougar sightings that we now know of in our local area. One end of our small town, a family has had to call for help for cougars in their yard at different times. Another local had one come in through the back door. Well, dog door, I'm sorry. That's Robert Colvin. That was from Wilbur, too. One of my favorite comments is simply, look what you have done. Michael Woodbury. My friend was absolutely right. We now have a saturation of cougars and wolves, and it is a serious problem. Last year, there was a cougar sighting at the Reardon School. Children were kept inside, and parents called to come pick them up. I was called to come get my granddaughter.
Hey, Kelly, is he asleep? Would you wake him up so he can listen? Because I never seen him look at her once.
Oh. Near Ford, a cougar was spotted in a tree at a rural bus stop. Right at the same time, the bus was scheduled to arrive. That cougar was killed. It was obviously stalking those kids. That same week, that same area, children were playing in their yard. Their grandfather spotted a cougar in a tree over the children. The cougar was stalking those kids. I grew up in the woods and often went to the creek near our home. There was no reason to be afraid, but there is now. It's only going to get worse. I truly believe our children's lives are at stake. We can't wait for children to start getting killed before we act. At least bring back the hound hunting. Thank you.
Thank you. Travis?
Ungulate numbers have been brought to historic lows. Deer hunting harvest down 50% in the last 5 years. Our predator numbers are at historical highs due to poor wildlife management. Predators are starving. Record mature tom cougars are being killed on people's porches because they are so hungry they prey on the only thing left, pets and livestock. These are not just juvenile cats. They are mature, intelligent animals that know killing your livestock or pet could be certain death. Yet they do it anyway because they have no deer left to feed on. Then these cats are hunted down by government hunters. Within the last year, there's been over 100 cats killed on depredation. This is disgraceful. These cats should be harvested by hunters, not wasted by an irresponsible wildlife agency. Your cougar density numbers is a lie. You should look for a new biologist. Your game management plan is not working. The testimonies these people give you is proof your biologist is wrong and a liar. Under new legislation, RCW 7712077, use of dogs to hunt, pursue black bear, cougar, and bobcat, non-lethal pursuit, it states under the RCW that the commission will make rules on the application process and the houndsmen will act as agents of a wildlife agency. This is a step in the right direction. Hound hunting is a privilege, and it should not be exclusive to government hunters and wardens. This needs to be available to any law-abiding citizen that wants to apply, not just the warden's buddies. There needs to be an annual application process so that this does not turn into government hunters getting to run their dogs and only them. That would not be fair to the public. These animals do not belong to the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. They belong to the people. They should be hunted and harvested by the people. WDFW having their own hired hound hunter kill over 100 cougars in a year is not a solution. It is a bandage for poor wildlife management. Under the exceptions of the RCW, the commission can warrant the removal of cougars with the use of hounds, if warranted by cougar incidents, such as livestock pet depredation, cougar encounters with people. We have all of these in Northeast Washington. Along with a dog training season, there needs to be a cougar removal with the use of dogs to bring these predators back to manageable level before there is no deer left and our predators starve to death and we have nothing for wildlife because of the department's failure of wildlife management. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Breezy Brunson and Gary Cutler.
Hi, my name is Breezy Burnson. I am a wife and a stay-at-home mom. My husband and I have owned property in Stevens County for over 20 years. We have property in Deer Park and in Spangle. Both our properties back up to BLM land. We ride a lot of green horses in these areas. These horses are in training, and that is dangerous enough on its own without having to worry about cougars attacking our dogs, our young horses, or even us. It used to be that we could ride our horses out there and just worry about a deer spooking them or the just birds flying up. Now we have to worry about actual cougars jumping out at us. Our property in Deer Park is just right outside of the city limits. We are just a few miles from the center of town. We are still having cougar issues at our property. With the numbers of predators increasing and the ungulate numbers decreasing in the mountains, that is bringing the predators closer to town and the lower areas where food is easier to get to. Our property in Springdale is more secluded. We have hunted on this land for over 30 years, and in the past few years, we have been unable to harvest any deer or elk. Within just 3 miles of our home in Deer Park, there have been 8 cougar sightings in the past month and a half, and this is just the sightings of the people that my husband and I personally know. The town we live in is Deer Park. It was named that for a reason. When my husband and I first bought our property, we could not go a day without seeing at least 100 or so deer without leaving our place. In the past 5 years, we rarely even see one a day. But now, we do see cougars and hear them and hear wolves often. I have a 5-year-old son that I like to let run and play with his animals. On January 21st, 2020, I sent my son out to the back of the property to run, and as I'm watching him run away from me, from behind me, I hear a cougar screaming. The first fear and visions that go through a mother's mind are horrific. First thought of someone needs to save the woman that's being murdered. And the second, the straight thought of my son under attack of a predator that I cannot get to or stop in time just because I wanted to let my son go and run, take a break from schoolwork and run with his animals. That includes him riding his little pony out to the back of our property, which just looks delicious to predators. I was under the impression that it is your job and your duty to make sure that the WDFW do their job and protect the people as well as the animals. It seems as though the predators have become more important than the human life in your eyes. I no longer have the confidence in your staff to take care of this problem. It needs to change.
Go ahead, sir.
My turn. Well, I'm Gary Cutler. I'm the vice president of the Northeast chapter of Backcountry Horsemen in Washington, up in Deer Park area. And just to give you a little background there, we have 32 chapters in the state of Washington. Last year, the state Backcountry Horsemen of Washington did over 85,000 volunteer hours in the state for the Forest Service, the DNR, the BLM, and the Fish and Game Department. The last 2 years, we've done a parking lot and trailhead project at Rustler's Gulch, which is a part of the Fish and Game Department, with over 738 volunteer hours there, which equates to over $30,000 of volunteer value just for the Fish and Game Department. I've been riding horses for over 60 years here in the state of Washington and all over the country. I grew up riding with my two old cowboy uncles that cowboyed back in the 20s. I've been stalked by cougars on numerous occasions when I was on horseback. Even had to kill one up on the Pacific Crest who was stalking our horses when they were on a highland in the middle of the night. I always, when I'm talking to the people in our chapter, because I'm the education chairman also, I always advise them to carry a pistol. You never go anywhere with a horse without a pistol. And as all you people with cowboy hats back there know, you can shoot off any horse once. My greatest concern with our people, men, women, and children who spend a lot of time with boots and hooves on the ground in the backcountry here in Washington, is for their safety, for their camping, their horses, and their kids, especially while they're riding in the backcountry and the front country, because now we have cougars in the front country also. I still hunt in Stevens County, and I usually hunt within probably a 5-mile radius. And usually in the last few years, I have seen anywhere from 20 to 50 deer during that hunt, during that period of time. Last year, on the same area, over that same period of time, I saw 5 does and only 3 fawns. My son-in-law, this is my daughter, Meadow Muffin, is a farrier. And for you city folks, that means he's a horseshoer. I go with him to shoe horses on occasion. And last week, we went from Stevens County to Spokane County into Pendre County, and didn't see a single deer. We crossed the river at Usk and went up on the other side of the river, and coming back and going up there to Usk, we saw over 300 deer. Now, why is there deer over there in abundance and not over here? I've heard a lot of studies and statistics here, and I work with actuaries for 30 years, and the actuaries I've always known have always had a coffee cup full of pencils with erasers on them. And I was in the service in the 60s, and so I know a lot of acronyms. Two of them I've heard here. One is APR. I don't know what that means. I do, however, know what CYA is, and I've heard a lot of that here also. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay. Jewel Willie and Dale Willie.
He said she's not here, so call somebody else.
Okay. I will call Grant Peterson.
Good
Okay, great. I'm Dale Willing from Caldwell, Washington. I would like to address the commission meeting about the problems we have in Northeast Washington with our predator problems in our area, and that is the cougar population is overwhelming everything else. And in turn, this is forcing the predators into areas that they usually would not go into. Now people are at risk being attacked. Our kids, pets, and livestock are all living in danger. Every day, there's very few deer and elk left. The ones that are left are living in our local hay barns, residential areas. There's basically no moose left, mainly because of the wolves. What needs to happen is we completely redo the cougar plan. Put hounds back in the woods with good hunting seasons. Make it so when we don't harvest over 40 cougars a year, then we put a quota on how many we can harvest. That would bring our deer, elk population back, give the predator something to eat instead of coming into our yards after our pets and our pastures after our livestock. It would also teach them from coming in to fear. They would also teach them to fear humans. These are not pets, they're predators. I would like for the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife to try to solve this problem by opening a hound season and harvesting cougars. That is, it's as simple as that. It does not seem like the Commission or Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife has listened to our complaints in the past year that we came down in force in Spokane and nothing seems to have happened. This would also increase the license sales for Washington State Fish and Wildlife. I hear Governor Inslee, whether this is true or not, I don't know, but bailed out the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife by giving them $27 million out of the general fund. That is ridiculous when they could be selling hunting licenses for predators that would bring our deer and elk moose populations back and they could sell more hunting licenses. It don't make any sense to me why they can't figure this out. And for some reason, they can't figure out the solution is to put the predators on the top of the list instead of saving the predators. And it seems like last year we come down with the same stories. The whole bunch of us, there was like 60 of us at the Spokane meeting last year, and we all talked to these same people, and it went in your ear, whoever was at this end, and it went out that guy's, and that's as far as it went. It never went any further. It like boom, 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 and there. These people all come down and complain for nothing. And then I sit here and I watch this Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife guy put a graph up here that says the cougars were, more of them were harvested after the hound season. I mean, I hate to say that, but full of BS. And I'd like to see his graph up there begin, because his graph started from 79 till now. And there's no way that you harvested more cougars before the hound season was shut down. We need a cougar hound season bad back. If nothing else, to at least have enough hounds out there to start pushing cats back away from people's places and protecting my grandkids and my livestock. Where I live, I don't have hardly any deer left. I used to have deer, elk, and moose there. I don't have no elk, no moose, and a few deer. And I cannot get... I go to these meetings, I drive 200 miles down here to talk to you guys. Last year, I didn't have to drive near as far, and it didn't do any good. I'm really hoping driving this far and going back this year does something for me instead of... It seems like I'm wasting my time, and I shouldn't be. You guys are the final decision on this, and nothing seems to happen. So where do we go from there? Take it into our own hands? I mean, shoot, shovel, and shut up? That ain't going to do us any good. We need a law that says, yes, you can hunt with hounds. You can kill them. We need a quota down. If we make it where you don't kill over 40 cats, then we need to put a quota on them. But until we get down to that, we need to kill cats. We need to get our predators under control and get our wildlife back, our deer, elk, and moose. We need it back. Thank you.
Thank you. Grant?
I'm Grant Peterson, a member of the NWWG. I live on 160 acres of timber, pastured, located 7 miles northeast of Shawila. Some of my professional experience includes 5 years in the United States Air Force, 5 years as Spokane County Commissioner, 6 years as a presidential appointee, Senate-confirmed Associate Director of FEMA in Washington, D.C., and then I spent 25 years assisting federal, state, and local governments identify trends and develop plans to prepare for and respond to natural disasters and terrorist attacks against the citizens of this country. With this experience, I understand the signs and trends of impending disasters. Currently, I believe that we are in the middle of two maturing disasters. The presentation of surveys and testimony that has preceded me clearly makes this case. but I would like to share with you 70 years of perspective. In 1946 and 47, I lived with my grandparents 9 miles from Shawila. We were literally living in the wilderness. I saw bear, coyotes, but no cougar or wolves, and a lot of deer. I then moved to Spokane Valley, and for 10 years I came back to Grandpa's place and walked the timber trails and learned to hunt. I began my service as Spokane County Commissioner in 1981. I held hundreds of hearings and worked with thousands of citizens, but I cannot remember one hearing driven by the need to address wolves or cougar problems. I then went to Washington, D.C. in 86 and came back in 2002. I've lived on my land for 18 years and have personally viewed disturbing trends. Beginning in 2006, we began seeing increases in cougar kills. Deer were killed in my garden, on my driveway. Other deer were killed within 50 feet in front and back of my house. In 2013, we began to see wolf tracks. In 2014, a wolf confronted my dog 10 feet from my deck, and an elk calf was killed by wolves in my pasture. These interactions peaked in 2016 when 5 wolves attacked my 2 dogs 100 feet from my house. In 2015 and 2018, bobcats also killed deer 150 feet from my house. The trend that is obvious to me and my neighbors is that the apex predator populations are increasing while the prey population is diminishing. Clearly, this is not a single predator problem, and management has to address these problems holistically. The first disaster is this. As the predators crash the prey population, then the predators will find other food to eat and confrontation with the public will increase. Isn't this already the trend? Let's keep in mind the annual cougar calls to WDFW for assistance in Region 1 has exploded from 145 in 2015 to 326 in 2018. These trends represent a huge safety issue. The second disaster is that the citizens are afraid and are losing patience and confidence in the ability of the WDFW to manage these trends. The public's concerns are going to get worse unless you face these trends head on and take action. In closing, experience has taught that disastrous situations are not averted by ignoring trends and realities or by pushing off actions that could, if implemented, avert the disaster. I sincerely hope you will act on the recommendations that the NWWG presents to you today. And please listen to the following testimony that will be presented by one of our commissioners on what Sheriff Mankey has to say about this and how it's affecting him. And if I had time, I would read our prosecuting attorney's statement for disaster number 2, what happens when people in the community lose faith in the WDFW and take things in their own hands. I sincerely hope that we can see action and you take the responsibility and the ability that has been given to you to make change. Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen. Any questions? Okay, Freddie and John Maggard.
John Akini, director of the one of the directors of the Northeast Washington Wildlife Group, and what I want to do is go over a plan that we drew up over the last 8 years and thousands of customers that come into our store basing their concerns over cougars and the wildlife department management led to compiling a program modeled after Idaho Fish and Wildlife Panhandle Cougar Program. We drew this up as a cougar pilot and study program. This was brought to the commission last year in March. It was also given to the department last March. It was never put or assessed by the department as a viable alternative. The pilot study program proposal would encompass GMUs 101, 105, 108, 111, 113, 117, and 121, known as District 1 for further reference. This plan would be modeled after the Idaho Department of Fish and Wildlife's successful cougar management program in the Panhandle. Program would be in place from 2020 until 2026. A cougar season would run from August 1st until April 30th, taking away the people who don't want to see cougars hunted all year long. It would be a 2 cougar per season. A minimum harvest of 37 would be the fall line. If the harvest drops below 37 in 2 consecutive seasons, the season length for the hunting portion would be readdressed. As long as the harvest remained above 37, science would tell us that District 1 has a viable and sustainable cougar population. Because of public safety concerns, residential private property owners would be allowed to harvest a cougar only on their property to protect their families and personal property, livestock, pets, etc., at any time of the year without a depredation permit of any sort. Private property owners and their agents, including leased land that has personal property on it, using that land at the time of occurrence, would be allowed to harvest a cougar while livestock, pets, etc. are using the said property year-round. All cougars harvested, whether on private, leased, or public land, would be reported to the Department of Fish and Wildlife. The WDFW would be required at their discretion to go to the location of harvest to record the harvest, and in the case of being harvested on private land, the harvested cougar would be released to the owner of the property. In the case that the landowner does not want the cougar, WDFW would be responsible for disposal. Reduce the cougar tag to $10 to encourage higher sales, increasing opportunity for the public and income for the WDFW. Harvest data would be made public on the WDFW website throughout the pilot program every 2 weeks during the season. Is there any questions?
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You mentioned that this was modeled after the Idaho program. Could you, if you understand the current Idaho regulations, speak to what portions of this are identical or what portions of your pilot program are not part of the current Idaho Fish and Game regulations?
Well, Idaho's program is based on, number one, hunting with hounds. Number two, in 1992, they set a baseline of 61 cats. If it dropped below that number in harvest in the panhandle, they would reassess the season. That was in 1992. They have never dropped below 61. It has only gone up and up and up in the panhandle. Their ability to protect their ungulates because of the wolf that has moved in, they just recently, last in 18, made the cougar, sorry, in 18, instituted an extra 90 days onto the season, making it 10 months out of the year, because they could not keep up with the depredation of the wolves and the cougars in the panhandle. So that program, our program, gives people that sense that they're being taken care of, that they can harvest a cat that's on their property at any given point in time to protect their family, so that they don't have to look for someone to show up, if they show up, or just tell them on the phone, well, it's probably just passing through. I don't know about you, but the people that come into our store are sick and tired of hearing it. Law enforcement has not done their job, no way, shape, or form. And turning these cats loose, once they get them, they're on somebody's property, they're on their porch, that cat is a problem. It needs to be taken out, not collared, and released. That is I hope this doesn't happen, but if somebody's kid or their grandkid gets killed, I hope you will all be at that funeral to tell them how this isn't an issue. Because this is out of hand, completely out of hand. We're having as many cougar problems now, with over 163 of them killed in the last 16 months that we know of by the department's number, and they've given us lots of different numbers because they don't want us to know exactly what's going on. And we're still having problems. You heard Ole Burnett read that number of issues they had with cats through January, February, and March. It's nuts. And you're our last hope that something's going to be done here.
Mr. Baker has a question or a comment?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, it's a question and a comment. First of all, the comment is that we are here again. We are listening. There's my question, though, is we've heard from a lot of people the frustration that we haven't reinstituted a hound hunt, including most recently you. And so my question is whether you think that we have the authority to institute hound hunting in the way it used to be done in this state post the initiative that happened. I don't want to be seen as we go through this later on for anybody here to think that we're passing the buck. But we do have to work within the law, and we have our own interpretation of the law. So I want to hear if you have a different one. Do you think we can hound hunt?
Well, let me clarify that. I said Idaho,
okay,
with hounds, okay, harvests this many, not us.
Correct.
Allowing residential property owners and leased property owners to harvest a cat year-round alleviates that problem because we do not have hounds. It was a vote in 1996 on Initiative 655 that did away with hounds, baiting, and trapping.
Correct.
Okay? And I know that you can't change that. I know that. That has to be done legislatively.
And then one more step forward of that, there are very limited times when we can use hounds and can use citizens with hounds to take care of the public safety issues. And I think our director deserves some credit since the meeting last March for adding quite a bit of vitality into that program in this part of the state. So I just wanted to make sure that the entire audience didn't think that among our tools in our toolbox is reinstituting a hound hunting program here, absent legislation. And because if somebody thinks that we can, then we should know about it.
It can be approached, a CR-101, a CR-102, and it can be looked at. It wasn't looked at. Not at all.
Support it if it does come around. Okay. Again, I'm John Maggart, Chair.
Travis, I'm not going to take any questions from the audience.
I'll go back and
talk about it. No, not now. Listen, okay, but everybody's having their chance. We're doing our best to get this absorbed, and respectfully, we can't not take more questions from the audience. So, John, please.
Okay. I'm chair of the Northeast Washington Wildlife Group. You already know that. We're a pro-hunting organization whose goal is conservation and management of our hunting resources in Northeast Washington. We've been involved with the WDFW for around 25 years and, quite frankly, have made very little headway with their decision-making on issues such as timely adjustments to season or regulations after bad winters, disease, or predators. The people head up our group represent around 300 years of boots-in-the-woods biology, and that's just four or five of us, six of us, whatever, which might also be accepted as common-sense experience. Your biology isn't working and never will. That's why I'm testifying today. That common-sense experience is sometimes better than all the book biology you can get. Common sense went out the window at WDFW years ago and is having a very hard time inching itself back, if at all. You listen to the testimony of a group of people ahead of me who share the same passions for conservation of big game as I do. The survey results shown to you are absolute proof that things are not heading in the right direction. People know this, and they are telling you to do something about it. Listen. You heard the statements of Stephen County commissioners. Listen. You heard the numbers on cougars and predators from Al Marth, which, by the way, are almost impossible to obtain without an act of Congress. Cover-up? Is that the transparency you talked about last year? Kelly, that was your favorite word a year ago, and I've talked to you a lot since then, and I know you've been working on it, but it's not enough. That hasn't worked, and now the public views the department as a massive cover-up on all issues. If you think I'm wrong, do a survey, just like we did. You heard the discussion on the issues and problems with the department changing numbers to fit whatever they present to the public eye. Whatever it takes to confuse and appease the public, as most people will not have the time to analyze what is put out there. You heard of the public safety issues. These are genuine concerns from real people who have to deal with the department and excuses for not doing something on a regular basis. For those of you who were there last March commission meeting in Spokane, I would have thought it was crystal clear what those people wanted out of that meeting. It didn't happen. And there always seems to be flimsy reasons why. Some of the rules were changed as far as taking out problem cougars. And that is true. A drop in the bucket. Any cougar that is around schools, homes, livestock, or people is a problem cougar. It doesn't matter if it's collared or not. You heard from the horsemen, the ranchers, the hound dog people, and the hunters. You were presented with a cougar plan that we believe will work better than anything you have so far, and definitely better than the four flimsy options given for public comment. Those options of WDFW will do nothing to stave off the ever-increasing problem with cougars in everyone's backyard. Again, doing nothing seems to be the mean. Restrict hunting with rules all you want, but these predators eat year-round, and until you decrease the predator population, our ungulates such as deer are doomed, and hunting will be nothing but a memory. We've been saying this would happen for many years, but nothing from DFW. And I'm not blaming all that on you, Kelly, I'm not. We want a cougar plan that will solve the problem. We want the department to stop cow-tying to animal rights people. The public knows the department has been infiltrated by these people and some hold influential positions. That aside, we want you to step up and address the problem and fix them with good management. We don't want excuses on time frames for public comment or anything else. Just work with us, the stakeholders in this problem, and fix this damn mess. We have tried to help by offering a plan that will work. It's a place to start. Just get off your thumbs and do something. One thing I want to read along with that. If you look at, this came out of the game management plan, I believe, RCW 77.04.020. The department consists of the State Fish and Wildlife Commission and the director. The commission may delegate to the director any of the powers and duties vested in the commission. Also, on the same page, RCW 77.12.177. Washington Fish and Wildlife Resources are the responsibility of all residents of the state. We all benefit economically, recreationally, and aesthetically from these resources. Recognizing the state's changing environment, the legislature intends to continue to provide opportunities for the people who appreciate in this native habitat. However, the wildlife management in the state of Washington shall not cause a reduction of recreational opportunity for hunting and fishing activities. The paramount responsibility of the department remains to preserve, protect, and perpetuate all wildlife species. And that's enough of that. We're asking for you, for your help. We need it. You guys are the only ones that can do it.
Gentlemen, thank you very much again. Next two are Dave Duncan and Danny DeFranco.
Good Good afternoon, Chairman Carpenter, Director Suslin, ladies and gentlemen of the commission. My name is Dave Duncan. I live at 4636 Weaver Road in Ellensburg, Washington. I'm the committee chair for the Rancher Sportsman Wildlife Committee on WCA. You've heard me. I've been here many times. WCA recognizes recreational and boot harvest as one of the few tools presently available to control cougar populations. Our members and organization cannot support the four listed options relating to recreational harvest guidelines because they do nothing to solve the overabundance of cougars in areas of the state. The four options are just a shell game moving target guidelines around without achieving any meaningful reduction in cougar density in problem areas. We're not asking for a wholesale reduction through recreational harvest of cougar populations across the state. We are asking that this commission to relax the quota system and extend the recreational seasons on lands that are privately owned by livestock producers, lands near to or adjoining the urban interface, and lands with high human use for public safety reasons and to help reduce cougar predation on livestock and pets. In most cases, these described lands are not defined as cougar habitat. This would also help in reducing the cost to the state of the existing public safety program. And we realize that your hands are tied at this point in time. We're also asking to relax the quota system and extend the recreational season in areas of the state where ungulate populations are indicating low neonate recruitment and survival. If and when recruitment and adult survival by ungulate species reaches the population guidelines outlined in their ungulate species game management plans, adjustments should then be made in the quota system to then stabilize the cougar population in that area or PMU. Wolves are now in the spotlight for livestock depredations and taking all the blame. And I understand this, and people here understand this. I'm also on WAG, and it's very political. These livestock depredations, in our opinions, are occurring in areas where increased cougar or black bear populations have greatly reduced the prey population over the last two decades. Now, with a third apex predator on these landscapes, they are further depressing the prey base, and predators are increasingly being forced to prey on livestock and pets for their food supply. The cause of these depredations is WDFW's concept of single-species management of cougars and their unwillingness to manage predator populations in balance with a robust prey base. The livestock and hunting communities were expecting major revisions of the Cougar Plan and the next version of the GMP. The new Cougar Plan should be a dynamic document that has the ability to evolve and change based on variable conditions, not a single species management plan. We are extremely upset that the new game management plan has been purposely put off by the department for 2 years, which places more urgency on our request. Thank you for your consideration. I also have a stack of comments from a bunch of producers around the state that couldn't make it today. A lot of them we discouraged to make it, quite frankly. So I would appreciate it if you would read those.
Good evening, Chairman Carpenter, Director Suslin, ladies and gentlemen of the committee. I'm Danny DeFranco with the Washington Cattlemen's Association. I'm their Executive Vice President, and we're representing over 1,200 members in the state of Washington. And I also operate a cow-calf operation in and around Ellensburg. So over the past 20 years, I've been lucky enough to work in and around the Pacific Northwest on various ranches. And one of the things that was always an issue and something we monitored was cougar activity in relation to our cow herds. And in that 20 years, it seems like it's been getting worse. And for example, the ranch I've been on, we're not on it anymore. We got on there in 2016, and there was quite a few deer running around, fresh antlers, and my last fall there was last fall, and you didn't hardly see any deer. And I also observed a couple cats living in and around my calving grounds and never ranging out all winter last winter. You know, it's not a story that's unique to everything else you guys have heard today. And it's going to continue to be that way. And with some of the markets the way they are now, with what we're dealing with, these cow-calf operators within the state are going to be in even dire straits if this thing doesn't straighten out with the predator populations, including cougars. And so that's something we're very concerned about moving forward this year. So with Dave's help, obviously we're not a hunting organization, but the regs on predators and other ungulates end up affecting our producers and at the end of the day. And you guys have heard numerous stories and complaints and everything else for, you know, a lot of years now. And so it does affect us, and it does affect our producers. So with Dave's help, we've identified, you know, WDFW data that shows the Clockham herd population is down 2,000 elk in 4 years. The bull harvest is down 55% in 3 years. The calf to cow ratio is below herd's sustainability. The Yakima herd is down 2,600 head in 3 years. Bull harvest is down 57% in 3 years. And the calf retention is also below herd sustainability. The cougar harvest is statewide 2015, 202 cougars, and in 2018 was 376, which tells us cougar populations across the state is up significantly, and the majority of the harvest was in eastern Washington, where the bulk of our members live and work. Washington Cattlemen's Association does not support any of the four options available being considered, and thank you for your time.
My name's Rob Peters. I live up at Colville. In the last 3 months, I've had a cougar two different times in my driveway. A year and a half ago, I had a wolf right on my back porch. I have two granddaughters that like to come over and see the cows and the calves behind my yard. I make sure now somebody goes out with them. What else do you do? I'm a logger. I started when I was 18. I'm 56 years old now, so I've been in the woods a lot. Before they stopped hound hunting, I probably seen maybe half a dozen cats in that period of time, and they didn't hang around very long when I seen them, and it's always early in the morning. Now, pretty much every job I go to, within just a couple days, there's cougar and wolf tracks all over it. I don't, you know, as the deer goes, most time in the winter they come in, like Travis was saying, to eat off of the timber on the ground. This last job I just did out there, I plowed the road out on a Saturday, started Monday morning, and I had five different sets of wolf tracks. Not one deer in there, and there used to be deer all over it. In the same area the winter before, I'm going to work at 4:30 in the morning, and I got a log deck alongside the road, and I see something move, and here's a cougar laying underneath my log deck. I pulled in within that distance of you from that cat. He got up, looked at me, turned, and walked off. That's how afraid it was. It wasn't at all. I did another job down there in 18 when they had all the fires up there off Kiefer Road, and there's several houses around it, and it's right on the edge of it. Right in the middle of the day, like I told you before, most of the time I ever seen him was in the dark. Right in the middle of the day, one of my trucks, here's a cat. Seen it two times in 1 week. And that cow was within 200 yards of the closest house. Didn't bother it. Just sat there and looked at it and everything else. This is why we need the dogs hunting back to control them. I'm not for wiping out any animal. I'm not. Which they were controlled before. We still had plenty of cats, but we didn't have the problem that we have right now. Because I'll guarantee you, if that cat or that wolf's in my yard, my grandkids out there, it ain't leaving. Pretty simple. Thank you.
Well, good evening, and thank you. Director, Commissioners, Mr. Chair, Cedar Woolley, we'll greet you once again.
Oh, yeah, good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you again. I was here 7 years ago as a new commissioner to come before the board to appeal about the wolf situation in Stevens County. And here I am again because I'm here in support of the suggestions that you're getting for a new paradigm for cougar interactions that are occurring in my county. I'm the county commissioner from the 3rd District. My district runs from Caldwell, the county seat, north to the border. I used to live a little closer to Ole Burnett when we first came to the county in 84 out of the Seattle area, and then moved north. So I've seen these changes also. I'm not a hunter, so I don't feel the impacts, but I have been living in the North End. I'll give you a few stories, personal stories. And before I do, something I wanted to say. You guys have got a lot of stamina. You've heard these stories. You know what the situation is. The question is, what can you do? And I heard a comment about when you do a nose plant, how's it working out for you? I think you've been given a new tool by the wildlife group. I think it's a tool that you could pick up and use. It's not going to hurt, and it could go a long way toward alleviating our situations that we're facing. Personal story. Over the years at my place, I live on the outskirts of a small community. It's just like any little town, only it's probably smaller. It's got a core of homes within close proximity, and then some of us live a little bit outside of that. And I'm one of those guys that rides in the woods. My wife won't let me ride anymore unless I'm packing. And I don't want to be the guy to see what happens when I shoot off my horse once. I've had, on my place, 3 cougars. One my wife found in the hayloft in our little barn by climbing up to feed the horses. One I found in my woodshed just a couple of springs ago. And one of them, as we were giving riding lessons to a nice young couple, just came walking along the fence line through the brush, head for the highway, and disappeared. In addition to that, in my small community, we have one gentleman that had a fairly good fence around his house right down in the center of the little town where, with lots of houses in close proximity. They found a cougar that had come into one of their buildings called DFW. They came and after a big tussle, tranked it, hauled it off a few miles down the road, let it come back to sanity, and then had to shoot it because it started heading right back towards the community. I have a neighbor, a close friend, for many years. He and his wife decided that for a potential extra retirement income, they wanted to start a very special breed of sheep that they would hope would take off and other people would pick up. So they spent a lot of time and money putting together this operation to find out that their prize ram got taken by a collared cougar with a broken leg. The leg was broken before it was collared. That came in, picked up their ram, took it over a fence, and had to be disposed of. That's just in my experience. These things cannot happen. The place where I've seen these cougars is now occupied by my son, and my granddaughters are growing up. I want them to not have to fear what's going on. This can be alleviated, and it can be alleviated if we don't have a paradigm entrapment philosophy that said we're just going to keep doing business as normal and hope that it gets better. Let's try something new. I'm going to share with you a little bit. We've written a letter, you have it prior to this, in support of the proposal that's before you. After this gentleman, we listen to a lot of proposals, and some we get behind and some we don't, but you see the predilection. The commissioner preceding me told you the investment that Stevens County has made in order to try and be a help to the department to be a help to our citizens and be a cooperating partner. We did our little bit of research after the presentation, and I had our clerk reach out to the school districts in Stevens County. Out of the 10 districts that she called, 4 of them reported times when they had to take measures to protect their students because of cougar or cougar and or bear presence. And that documentation is in the letter. This can be a tragedy. It does not need to be a tragedy. It needs to have more aggressive management. The director's done a good job by putting a clear-cut sound out that problem cats will be eliminated, but as it was said before, that's a good start. That's a start. It's one piece of it. But I believe that the populations do need to be taken down. I think these guys are on the right track. The indication that there's a lot of complexity going on. Let me give you one more story real quickly, too. This week, first part of the week, as commissioners, we were sitting in normal session, and Congresswoman McMorris' office staff in the area asked if he could bring a group of homeschool students to come and learn about local government. Of course. Yeah. We think local government's a very important facet of life. And so they came in, sat, they were in attendance, and we had some interaction. And before they left, I just asked the question, how many of you have personally or know somebody that's had an uncomfortable experience with cougar? Out of the 15 or so students, 6 raised their hand. Said yeah, and that, and we left it at that. Those are all informal things, but they're telling. I have an unfortunate story. We need to look at the total picture. Some of these guys have been pretty hot, and to the point of being angry at the conduct and the lack of being heard. I understand being passionate. I really do. I understand being concerned. I understand being frustrated. But things do need to change. Stevens County has invested its own money, its own time, its own treasure in trying to be a partner with DFW. But I have firsthand knowledge of a situation where department staff went out of their way in this specific cougar situation to roundly cuss and denigrate Stevens County staff, and the Kalispell tribes for participating in cougar collaring and monitoring, and did so in no uncertain terms and for no short session, to the point that just hearing a brief report on this, to me, was outrageously shocking to the point of being embarrassing. That should never happen between state employees and local staff. It should never happen. These are the things that the commission needs to consider as a part of the problem to see, is it status quo? Which are the 4 options? Or is it time to completely rethink this thing and see if you do have the authority to make a significant change? Will it work? It might. You guys have been here a long time. You've heard a lot of stuff. You've been patient. To me, this is a very, very important topic. It's an important topic for our future. I came to Stevens County for a reason. I want to see that reason remain for generations to come. It needs a lot more conversation. So I don't know what you guys are doing tonight, but I invite you all for a beer at the Red Robin. One round on me, next round's on you. Thank you. Good to see you.
Sam Ledgerwood and Jay Hosrella.
Commissioners, you've heard a lot of testimony here today. I don't want to be redundant. A few things that I underlined and that I've seen. This is not just a Northeast issue, as you well know, it's across the state. Fear. We're scared. We're scared for the safety of our families and our property and our livelihood. Trust. We're losing trust. We need to regain the trust between the landowners, the producers, and the population. That's going to be a hard row to hoe. As landowners, we have the right to the enjoyment of our land. We're losing that. You heard them say they can't ride their horses, they can't turn their kids loose and run. We're losing the right to the enjoyment of our own land. The right to custom and culture. That's right in the Constitution. That's part of what we're just talking about is everybody, a lot of people that testified here today grew up on the land, enjoyed the land, some cases come back to it or are still there, and it's not the same as it was. And they need to have the tools or be given the tools. So the department needs to let those tools be taken to so they can enjoy their land. And they want to enjoy the deer and elk population again. They want to feel safe to walk through their land or ride through their land. And with their kids, or in my case, grandkids. And it's just really sad that those are our property rights that are being deteriorated. You know, there's people that have ranches that because of the wolf population, excuse me, predator population, their land and their forest permit, it's not worth today what it was 10 years ago. Who'd want it? Who'd want to turn their cattle out there and go through that? My own family's asking them questions. I have a Forest Service permit. These are the things that really hit home to me, is how it affects all these people's families, my families. As I stated to you earlier, I'm the current president of the Worcester Cattlemen Association. That's part of our job, is to protect the custom and culture for our membership. So please consider that. These people are here today asking for help and wanting to work with you. Come discuss it. You know, I'm afraid it's going to have to come from somewhere other than local because of the trust factor. But it can be done. They're here today asking for that. Thank you.
Thank you. And there again, good to see all of you guys again. Brock was talking about in the Blue Mountains. It's kind of a sad deal because Justin Dixon from Garfield County was one of the commissioners, and he was all set to come over, and he was had a presentation about numbers in our part of the world, but they had a county emergency, so he couldn't come. And there again, only thing I retain anymore is water, it seems like, but the one thing that sticks in my mind in the Blue Mountains, in 2006, they killed, because in our area, it's all, big bulls are all on draw, so the only general elk season we have is for spikes only. Brock said that we were down 16%. Well, I have to admit that I went to school in Annatone, but my math works a little different than this. 2006, there were 283 spike bull elk killed in general season. In 2018, there were 67. So, like I said, the way I kind of do the math, I miss somewhere in there. I think it's a little more than that. Talked to our local biologist. He said we're probably going to get a wee bit of a bounce. For 2019, he didn't have the numbers yet when I talked to him last, but he said we're still going to be way under 100. So we're talking about a third. Larry was talking about the boat show that was off 50%. Well, we're there and then some. Wes McCart had talked about the counties doing stuff. I was invited about a month ago down to attend a meeting in Dayton. And it was all just a word of mouth deal because there's some frustrated hunters and down in that part of the world, and they were exploring the idea of maybe taking over game management locally in the counties. Well, I dissuaded them with that idea. But what started out to be 12 people, there were 72 people showed up, took the night to show up and discuss that. It just shows you that there's a lot of frustration all over. And we're never going to take over the management, but Francine Madden, we paid her, the taxpayers of the state paid her $800,000 to come and work on the wolf issue. And the one thing that I took away from Francine was, you keep pushing, and this is just human, and it isn't just human, it's an animal nature. You get back something into the corner, and pretty quick it comes down to fight or flight. And that's what these people are doing today. And there again, we're talking about the wolf issue. Yeah, you guys got me backed into a corner really hard, because my family's been on that ranch north of 100 years. And I don't want to be the last one, and I'm going to do everything within my powers not to be the last one. I don't feel that the ranching community's got a level. We get a seat at the table, but it's a rigged frickin' game. We're playing on everybody else's rules, everybody else's referees, and so we've got to make some pushback there, because it is. It's just like Sam said, it's a way of life and a cultural. And one more, and I'll be really quick. Molly says, how's that working for you? And on the cougar deal, the height of insanity is to keep doing what's failed in the past. My heart breaks for you guys. I know what you're facing with the cougar issue. But damn it, we've got to figure something out. We got to get the ball rolling. It's got to just get to the point of being from a freaking suggestion to a demand that something has got to freaking change. And that's all it comes down to. And I know, I'm sympathy for you guys. But there's got to be a line drawn in the sand. Something is not working. Because I was attending in Spokane last year, and that meeting was a heartbreaker for me to listen to people. And I'm sure this hasn't been very pleasant for you guys. So, well, hope our trails cross again soon. And thanks.
Thank you, gentlemen. Okay, I've got one here that says Ray Clark slash Freddie, and then it says, I will read Ray's letter. Okay, that's fine. The second one is Bob Sanger.
I want to thank the commission and director for allowing me to be here to give some testimony. I'm the elected sheriff for Clickitat County. I consider myself a constitutional sheriff. I believe in the Constitution of this state and the U.S. Constitution, and I'm a hell of a supporter of the Second Amendment. So that kind of sets the groundwork, guys. And you've heard testimony here today, and I'm not going to go into a lot of it. Same thing in our county. We've had dogs snatched off of back porches by cougar. We've had five sheep killed, five goats killed at Columbia High School in White Salmon at an ag project. They had them in a pen there. Cougar came down there and killed them. They've seen cougar in the parking lot at the school. Sightings. We get sightings all the time. And, you know, it came to my attention that there's an RCW out there that allows the elected sheriff to run a program to hunt down problem predators. And that, I hope you all got a copy of my policies. Did you get a copy of this yet? Okay. And that's what it lays out, how we operate as a sheriff's office. I have to tell you, we have outstanding cooperation with the enforcement branch of the Wildlife Division. Good people. Maybe not so much with the biology side of it. When the PR guys from that side of the Wildlife Department comes out to one of our ranchers or farmers and tell them how they made a mistake, they should have had higher fences, and how they can range off 4,000 acres to keep predators away from their cattle and stuff, does not go over very big. So a lot of work needs to be done on that part of it with the wildlife department and the community, the citizens. But as sheriff, I have a job to protect the safety of our community. And under that RCW, 77.15.245, paragraph 2A, allows the sheriff to have a hound hunting program. I have 140 volunteer posse members. I've got seven pilots fly for us too at no expense. But seven of those posse members are certified hound hunters. They volunteer their time. And what my policy, and you get an opportunity to read through it, I hope you'll take the time to do that. By the way, I'm not here to ask you for permission to do something. I'm doing it anyway. But under my policy, it strictly goes by that RCW. We do not go outside that RCW. In other words, we don't have posse members out there willy-nilly hunting cougars where there's no problems exist. The program has been highly successful, I might add. Our call load for cougar sightings have dropped. We still get them periodically, but for the most part, they've dropped off since June to the current date, since June of last year. When we initiated this program, our first cougar kill was in the city of Goldendale behind the PUD building in a populated residential area. It could have been a child killed. It could have been domestic pets. It could have been an adult attacked. So it's serious. We've had cougar in the town of Klickitat, the town of Glenwood. We've had cougar in Houston, a number of cities. Communities, I should say, in our county. And one thing about it, when I encourage a citizen to call in to 911, and a deputy will be dispatched, just like it was a domestic violence or any other call, that deputy will respond. If there's a confirmation, the deputy believes it was a cougar and not a coyote that was seen, then a hound hunter is called out immediately, and that cat will be tracked, or if it's a bear, but 90% of it is a cougar, if that cat will be tracked, and it will be euthanized. We do not dart. We do not try to have them transported somewhere else. But so far, we're up to about 14 cats since June. That's a lot for our area. And I can tell you, based on my experience, and I did range timber patrol in the Simcoe Mountains for 13 years, and most of the deer population, we have over 30 head of population in the town of Goldendale. You get out in the woods area outside of the town, you don't see any deer. Very rarely do you see a deer. But they have gathered where they consider themselves safe. And that's one of the reasons we're seeing cat in that area. But I've had a young man, biologist, tell me that, look, that's a young cat just passing through town. And I said, well, excuse my French, I don't really give a damn whether that's a young cat passing through town, because that cat is a predator and is hungry. It's not going to pick and choose what he gets for food. And that could be a child. I never want on my watch to ever have to knock on the door of some parent and say, oh, we found little Johnny down here by the little Klickitat, half eaten by a cat. I never want to be in that position. So, and I might add, our ranchers and farmers have every right to have their livestock protected. And I do that without hesitation. And we do not want wolves in our county, period. If you have any questions about my program, and I encourage other sheriffs that in counties of where they have predator problems to look at RCW 77.15.245 2A and consider doing the same thing. That way the citizen immediately gets a response. Our wildlife agents are short-staffed. They don't always have the opportunity to respond in a timely fashion. This gives them that opportunity. And I invite the wildlife agencies to go along with us when we get a call. But they have to understand that it is a sheriff's office call and program. So with that, I'll answer any questions if you have any. And I know it's been a long, long deal.
Thank you
very much,
Chairman.
Thank you.
My name is Freddie, and I'm reading this for Ray Clark, president of Clark's All Sports. My name is Ray Clark from Clark's All Sports in Colville, Washington. The decline on hunters in northeastern Washington has taken a severe toll on our town. Our hunting department was down 28% this last hunting season, September, October, and November. The worst we've had in 42 years. At this rate, our doors may not be open very long. I know that the motels, restaurants, gas stations, taverns felt it also. We are a hunter's hub for our area, and hunters that frequent our store and many of our employees are not buying a license next year due to the lack of game. Idaho, Alaska, Oregon, Utah are increasing in license sales. Colorado, Wyoming, Nevada, and Montana are holding their own. This is where our local hunters are going. These states have had predator problems and are aggressively attacking the wolf and cougar problem. Everyone in Northeast Washington knows that our game count is way down and our predator count is out of control. I have no idea where you get your information that the game count is okay and there is no wolf or cougar management problems. The west side is politically driven. The east side is wildlife and safety driven. As with as many cats as that are in people's yards and on their decks, it's only a matter of time before we lose some kids. We are losing pets, livestock, and our deer, yet it doesn't affect the west side. But we live with it. With as many people that have addressed the commissioners with no action taken, if we have a tragedy with kids, there must be some liability to the commissioners for not responding to everyone that could see it coming. Brad Mankey, the Stevens County Sheriff, was on Spokane television a couple of weeks ago with a map illustrating the acceleration of cougar encounter calls. The four-point units, the APR four-point units, we did have brought many outside hunters to Colville, and the game results after 2 and 3 years were tremendous, but that was also discarded. Many hunters with nice bucks commented that it felt like many years ago. The citizens in our area are completely frustrated with our severely diminished game, our excess of predators, and danger to people with no acknowledgement or progressive steps from the game department. As these problems accelerate, it doesn't leave much hope for bright days in the future. Thank you, Ray Clark. Ray Clark, Clark's All Sports President.
Thank you, gentlemen. John DeShio and Jason Bolzer.
Good afternoon, evening, on into the night. I'd like to thank the director and the chair and the members for the stamina. Admire the stamina that you have. If you could do this for about 2 more weeks straight every day and get calloused up good, you might be a good candidate for a county commissioner. So what I'm here today to do, because Sheriff Mankey couldn't be here, is I'm going to read his letter. That's all I'll have for that. But to preface that, you know, because the department and the sheriff's office have had good interaction, you know, that comes about in a weird sort of a way where you're a little adversarial and then you start working together. So one of my ancestors came to Fort Walla Walla in 1860, and a bunch of my wife's ancestors were already there, and sometimes they got in a few difficulties and fought some. Sometimes the way to create an alliance is to have a marriage that helps get everybody on the same page. So my wife and I got married, and we're still fighting. But I think the department and the, our department and the Department of Fish and Wildlife have got something that's working better. But Sheriff Mankey put his thoughts in a letter I'll read to you concerning cougar management. So his words, "I am writing you today because I feel the importance of the commission's decisions on this matter cannot be overstated. I've been following the issue of cougar management closely for some time now. I see this topic as being extremely important to the people of Stevens County and the entirety of Region 1. I feel it is my duty to impress upon you the seriousness of these decisions in the coming years. I've worked in law enforcement in Stevens County area now for 23 years. The first 20 years, I would hear about cougar sightings and conflicts occasionally. It was not regular or common in my day-to-day work. In the last 3 years, these reports and complaints have increased dramatically. A few weeks ago, a Stevens County deputy was forced to lethally remove a cougar near a residence just east of Arden. To my knowledge, this was the 40th cougar to be removed due to conflicts with humans and our domestic animals during the past year. While I'm not a wildlife biologist, based on local reports and the number of cougar complaints the sheriff's office has to field, I believe the population is out of control. The problems and related complaints seem to be growing exponentially each year. Although I could refer to many similar incidents, this latest incident pointedly illustrated some of most pressing concerns. It occurred in the evening of February 12th. A resident just east of the Arden community reported the emergency dispatch center that a cougar had chased her dog around the yard. The cougar then came onto her deck where it remained. Stevens County deputies responded. They arrived within 20 minutes to find the cougar still on the deck. Although it did jump down into the yard when they arrived, the cat did not run away as one would expect a wild animal to do when approached by a human. Law enforcement officials were forced to take action in the interest of public safety. This cougar had no fear. There were four or five houses in the neighborhood, each with families, children, and or grandchildren. The level of acclimatization is greatly concerning. As these incidents increase, the animals seem to become less and less wary of humans during the encounters. This presents even more fear for the safety of our citizens, our domestic pets, and livestock as we move into the future. The outcry from our citizens has gone from a whisper to a loud roar. They want action. This topic has easily become the most common complaint brought to my attention from the citizens of Stevens County. The sheriff's office now operates with a full-time wildlife specialist to help quell the outrage. He assists in managing conflicts related to predators harming livestock and pets. This position would not have been necessary had the predator issues been handled proactively from the beginning. The concerns are not focused on the impact of these predators to domestic animals and wildlife. Significant concerns are voiced related to how the sightings and increased numbers negatively impact the overall feeling of safety in our community. The issues surrounding predator populations, and in particular cougars as it relates to the current management topic at hand, cannot be ignored. We live in a beautiful area full of opportunities for boating, fishing, hiking, camping, riding, and hunting. The citizens of Stevens County, as well as many people from outside our area, come here to enjoy the great outdoors. If this matter continues to go unchecked, it will affect how we live and play in our region. While I do believe that this crisis impacts ungulate populations, my primary concern is for public safety. If a child is hurt or killed by a cougar in my county, who will bear the responsibility? I know that I will be the one dealing with the grieving families. I write this in hopes to minimize that risk. Battling this crisis is part of my job and one I take seriously. I believe that the state needs to aggressively address the rapidly growing problem before it gets any further out of hand. The approach should be regionally based. I strongly suggest that the growing cougar population needs to be managed by lengthening the hunting season, significantly increasing quotas, and reintroducing a hound hunting season at a minimum. I implore the commission to recognize this issue as the enormous public safety crisis that it is and help us curtail the growing fears. Our area is unique and cannot be lumped into a generic statewide plan. Listen to the people who are out there every day observing our wildlife, seeing the change in populations, and noting the changes in behaviors. Thank you for your time and attention. Sincerely, Brad Mankey, Stevens County Sheriff. And I have some copies of that I'll just give to your staff.
Hello, my name is Jason Bolser. I drove here from Mount Vernon, Washington. I'm the hunting VP for the Washington State Archery Association, and I'm also the president of Silver Arrow Bowman that resides in the Mount Vernon City Park. I came here today because the association does not support any of the four cougar proposals because they do very little to increase the cougar harvest. I personally bow hunt in the 407 unit, which is obviously on the west side. I used to hunt the 437, which is just in the hills east of there. And my experience has been that I see and kill more deer now in the 407 around my friends and family's homes than I do in just the hills outside of where I live. 4 years ago, I was stalked by a cougar after coming out after dark. And we used to not have that problem because there were lots of guys running dogs. This last year, there was a cougar cruising the course in the Mount Vernon City Park. My membership wants anything to be done to reduce the number of cats. We'd be open to trapping, spotlighting, anything that you could find to make it happen, we'd be for. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. I guess I'll see you in Mount Vernon.
Yes, you will.
The last comment is John Andrews. You barely made it under the wire, John.
I barely did.
Mr. Chairman, good afternoon, members of the commission. I'm going to use my 3 minutes to talk both cougar and deer, as I just got here from Spokane, Washington, and they are related. I didn't hear the cougar presentation, but I support whichever option would result in the most cougar harvested in Stevens County particularly. 68 public safety cougar removals by the department shows they're doing their job responding to public safety, but there's a lot of cougar, and it's affecting people, and it's also affecting our deer herd. I think that's one of the primary, one of the significant items on our deer herd. But on four-point deer, 3 hours ago, I was watching you on TV in Spokane, Mr. Chairman, when you said, where are the people that oppose four-point? And so I drove down here, and I'm glad I got here. And I would offer that I sent a letter, and your guidelines say if you send a letter, don't testify. So I thought I was doing you a favor and me a favor because I did not want to get the coronavirus. But I want to just make a few points, especially for the new commissioners. When this was passed in 2011, a four-point rule, it had been contentious for many years, and it was a very widespread commission meeting with lots of input, both sides, contentious, controversial, good disputes, and it passed. 4 years later, when it came up again, and it was brought up because of the significant decline in hunters in those units, it was another very widespread, contentious discussion with both sides, including Commissioner Tony Delgado from Stevens County, who originally testified in favor of it, and then 4 years later testified against it because of so much impact to his county. You had a county commissioner from Pend'Oreille County who testified, don't do this in my county because our sportsmen and business people don't like it. Unit 117, is half of it is in Pend'Oreille County. So I'm just here to urge, if you knew of the survey that was going on, or if you talked to people that knew you were going to consider this, I would offer in fairness, it should have been told to the department to put it in the agenda so people knew it. Because there are a lot of people on the other side of this issue. And I have a great respect for the four or five main gentlemen that have represented Four Point for many years. I don't agree with them. But some of the things that were said were their opinion, which I respect, but some of it were facts which were inaccurate. specifically when it was mentioned that there were more hunters at the end of Four Point, there were not. It was significantly reduced. And that's why the commission and the department was concerned, as well as many different people. So I represent what I call family hunting. Unless it's a biological or conservation issue, we have a family forest in Stevens County that we've had deer camp for 39 years with lots of new, inexperienced hunters. And the concept, if you can have a deer herd where people can shoot any buck if they want to, shoot a four-point or a trophy deer if that's what they want, these units, you saw the data, I saw it on the screen, already 40 to 50%. This is not a biological issue. If I thought it would recover deer herds, I'd be all for it. But predation, antlerless permits, that's the way to bring this deer herd back. Both those will help if you can do something on cougar. I know we're a long ways away from managing wildlife, but the department used to bring cougar populations down when deer populations were down to bring the deer up and bring the cougar back up. Anybody that likes predators, which I do, you need to concentrate on the prey base. And I think it was former Commissioner Duvier that said that. Deer, moose, elk, and we can have cougars and then don't tolerate the ones that are causing a public safety problem. And Northeastern Washington can return to what it used to be, in my opinion. Thank you for letting me testify last.
Thanks for driving down. I think the commissioners, I think there's going to be some discussion here at the front desk. But before we start that, if people start leaving, because I know it's getting late and people have dinner hours and so on, but I just want to reach out to the public that came down and spoke from the heart and said what they had to say. I know it's very difficult to try and engage in this process and to figure out if you're making a difference. But having been on the other side, before I got on the commission, I came and was in their face a few times, and once in a great while we can make a difference. And you guys make a difference. You share things with us that we don't hear every day. So in the spirit of that, I just want to thank you all, individually and as a group. So thank you. Commissioner Thorburn?
I'm going to speak sort of from a personal perspective as a commissioner. I actually will go back to my first meeting with the Northeast Washington Wildlife Group. I was a fairly new commissioner and educated at that time on the cougar issue. And I've been thinking and learning and worrying about solving the situation ever since. I share some of your fear. It would be just absolutely horrible if a child is injured or killed. I can't even express what I feel about that. In looking at harvest and responding to that concern with harvest, what I feel we need to do with harvest is to actually take the cougar population down in areas where we've got these concerns. Right now, the other point that I'll bring up is I lived through making a decision early on in my time on the commission about trying to manage the cougar harvest differently to take care of some of this problem, and that got overturned. The lesson for me on that was the necessity of following our process to get to the point where we need to get to. And we have pushed since last year. One of the areas that I've questioned ever since that first meeting with the Washington, the Northeast Washington Wildlife Group is the issue of the population, this density estimate that we use for setting our guideline. That's what we're going to change, or that's offered to us in the options that we have before us, and that's what I think we can do at this point without going through that process that isn't going to have this overturned again. We can get use a better population number to come up with the guideline. That said, as I started off, what I think is really needs to happen, and what all of you are saying to us, if we're going to manage some of the public safety with harvest, we need to be able to take the population down. And so out of this and through the discussions of the last year, I think some of us have been saying we want to move into that process as soon as possible. So I'm pleased with the guidelines that have been presented to us. I know how I'm going to vote, hopefully we can come together as a commission and vote on that. But we're not done with this process. We're going to keep going and get harvest as a part of responding to the concerns that we're hearing today.
Commissioner Anderson.
Yes.
A lot of powerful testimony today. It was my first round with cougars, and except I'm a WSU cougar, but my first round with a testimony like this, I learned a lot. I think that there were some things that were asked or demanded that we do that. I'm sure the Attorney General would tell us that we don't have the authority to do, such as on the hounds, and that's a fact that's beyond our control. But having said that, I think that there are some things that need to be done that they probably need to look beyond the constraints that we have find ourselves in, or the silos, as somebody said, and look at this more holistically. I do think, as Commissioner Thorburn said, we have something on the table right now that we haven't heard a lot of support for, but it's the reality of what we have and it's what we can do. But at the same time, I think from my point of view, we need to turn quickly and come up with I think a bold plan that will pass the legal muster and be sustainable.
Thank you. Commissioner Graybill.
Thank you, Chair. Commissioner Thornburn and I joined the commission at the same time, and we did share the experience of trying to do something. We were part of a commission that tried to do something and had it rejected. And so we've learned that process is critical if we're going to make progress. And we have to, as Commissioner Thornburn said, we're not done. In April, we will take action that we're allowed to do within the parameters that the legislature dictates to us by state law. We're going to continue to look at options, even extend partnerships beyond our role as commissioners and the commission and the Department of Fish and Wildlife, seek every means possible to work with communities and satisfy the complaints and concerns that we've heard today once again. And I don't think any of us are really happy with the progress we've made thus far, but we're committed to taking the action within the guidelines that make it possible as commissioners to move this forward. and I really do appreciate all of you being here today. This is a critical issue. We know it, and we're going to move this forward as best we can and as fast as we can within our abilities. So again, thank you for being here, and we'll work with department staff, your communities and representatives as best we can to move this forward. Thank you.
Mr. Smith?
Yes, sir. Just a second, that so you hear from a voice from all of us. I want to say I appreciate it. I've been on the commission a long time. Gary and I go back along many meetings together, and what you've done today is very beneficial. It's we do need to hear, and that's why we come to this. You know, we get out of Olympia to do that, but we need to hear from you, and your passion was heard. And we understand it. And we are, as my colleagues have said, what we can do within the law, and we're you know, through the AG's office, we'll find all of that. But your time was well spent. Your investment coming here will pay off. We are listening, and we will continue the dialogue. So thanks.
Anyone else? Commissioner McKaysian?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman, and let me also echo some of the talk about the powerful public testimony and how it can be very effective from the folks that are working out in the woods all the way through the hunters to the top of these county commissioners and law enforcement officials that are here and the moms and the grandmoms. It's a very good testimony for us to hear. Some of the testimony got a little rough on occasion where there's a perception that we're not doing anything, haven't done anything since last March in Spokane, where a lot of you were at. And I don't know if I see Jay Holzmiller here or not right now, but it was very powerful testimony there as well. And I think for those of you who think that we're not doing something, as the chair of the Wildlife Committee indicated, there has been some progress. And from our director taking note to make a little bit of a change in attitude as to what a problem cougar does over the course of the year. He heard the commission's direction last March, and the staff has responded as well. And this has been a topic of discussion at several commission meetings, including last October, where we heard at depth about what things can be done and what can't be done. We heard a few commissioners allude to that. And in blunt language, it's a dead-ass loser in court if you don't follow the right process. And so while it may seem like the commission is not taking on the big picture, which is something that can make a significant difference in cougar problems, that if you don't follow some of the process on that game management plan being reopened and the rest of it, whether it's a governor saying you didn't follow the right process or it's a judge saying you didn't follow the right process has to be followed if that big picture is going to be addressed. And so the Wildlife Committee, I think, is, and the other commissioners are saying that would be a priority, and I agree with that. It should be a priority to take on the big picture and take a hard look at the whole ball of wax. Leaving it up to just the hunting seasons that are left, I think we've heard from the staff that that's not going to make a big difference in the cougar populations. But we do have four options on the table, and so in a moment I want to ask one more thing of the staff on analysis of option four. There's one other point that was talked about quite a bit, and that was the lack of fear of humans being a significant thing here. And I even have had some constituents in Clark County, Washington talk about cougars, in one in a residential area of Hazeldale, Washington, that has concrete curbs and asphalt streets and housing subdivisions with lots that are very close together, with a cougar sighted that had come off the Columbia River bottoms. So this lack of fear thing is a significant thing. And we heard a little bit of talk about a year ago about training for the hound hunters so that when they are called on to deal with it with a problem cougar, that they do have hounds that can do that efficiently, and a training program so they could run their hounds on cats, no lethal removals. It's for the exercise and the talent of the dogs to be. That program was spoken of, but doesn't seem to be continuing. So I would hope that it would be assigned to the Wildlife Committee to bring that up. And I think there can be some science that comes out of that with regard to densities. You know, if you run some hounds in a particular watershed that's only supposed to have one cat in there and it turns out there's five, I think there could be some science that would gain that. So my second point there is that maybe the Wildlife Committee could make sure that that's still alive, which I don't think it is. And my task for the staff has to do with alternative four. I'm concerned that those folks that aren't here who might be looking at this will look at that aspect of the effects of alternative four being outside the range of 12 to 16%. And as was spoken to about the density matter, I had been thinking about a different alternative that used maybe a standard deviation away from the mean for those areas where we believe the densities are wrong, either due to lethal removals, elevated hunting takes, complaints, or whatever the evidence there is. And there is a lot of evidence that some of these densities have got to be higher than that mean. But I would leave it up to the staff to take a look at the distribution of those densities and find out whether it's the amount above one standard deviation or something else that would be added. So we would hear from you where the density should be, could be, and still land in the middle of that 12 to 16%, rather than use a median that might be wrong and have some people say, well, you're outside the 12 to 16. This alternative should be defeated just on the basis of that.
Commissioner Lindblom?
So part of the reason I wanted to be on the commission was because about 8 years ago, we started losing calves to cougars. And to be frank, the department kind of poo-pooed us. and that didn't feel good, and it didn't sit right. And so what we ended up doing was getting livestock guard dogs. And so now our neighbors don't like us because they just feel like our dogs have pushed cats onto their places and caused them problems. So I only bring that up to say that, like, I know personally how it feels to have a cat come pick off a calf here and pick off a calf there. And, you know, they do it when you're not looking, and they do it when you are looking and you don't see them doing it. And I want you to know that I really understand how that feels. And this is a personal thing for me, and that you were heard today, and that we are going to keep working at this, because it is a complex issue, and it's not, you know, often people who don't understand. And I've also been told to fence off our 6,000 acres, so I know what that feels like, and I know the realities of that. It's a complex issue, and it's gonna take outside the box thinking. And I think that you can have some real confidence that we're under the right director to start doing that outside the box thinking. And I think this commission has the will to do that as well. And so, now that I've said that, I have to make it happen. So thanks for coming. I'm really glad you all turned out, and you did a great job today. So I just appreciate you. Thanks.
Mr. Baker?
I also appreciate hearing again how serious this problem is in this part of the country. As I look at it, generally what we've heard, it's fairly obvious, is there's a problem with ungulate population numbers, and there's a problem with public safety, sort of broadly defined from, you know, 4-H projects all the way to kids. Those are the two problems. As we solve this problem, though, we are, in my mind, our issue is, well, I agree with Molly, this is a complex problem. It's a complex problem because we have at least two separate problems. And I don't know that I agree that there is a one-size-fits-all solution for this. If the answer to the ungulate problem is, well, first off, we do need to figure out how many cougars. I mean, density shouldn't be that hard to figure out. Maybe it is. I think that's where we start. We figure out how many cougars there are, or at least about how many cougars there are. But for ungulates, it's a calorie issue. If we go get rid of half of them, there will be less pressure on the ungulates and likely come back. For public safety, though, I'm not so sure, because there is peer-reviewed science out there that says that you got to get rid of the right cats and leave the right cats, and that they regulate themselves. So I listened real carefully when Commissioner McCart was talking, because he had this very impressive sort of scientific mathematical background, and he said, if our numbers are high and the science and the data supports any option that reduces the number of cats in our area, we're going to go for it. My question for you all is, as you're looking at this, understanding that the devil is in the details and understanding the position we're in, where we do need to make these decisions not only now but in the future. We've got a three-year game issue coming up, and then a six-year one. I'd like you to, if you could write to us or call us, I'm pretty easy to reach, and get a bit more specific about what your solution is, other than, you know, get rid of all the cats or most of the cats, because this is the kind of thing that we are, every one of us wants to do what Molly tells us all the time. We have to take down these silos. We cannot manage to a single species. We have to look at the whole thing. We know that. It's a little more difficult to do the way that our laws are written and all of these harvest guidelines are written. So without prolonging this anymore, what I want to say is I am very, very open to hearing your suggestions in more detail. What you really think we ought to do, because I'm going to be going back and looking at the science as well. And I've asked our staff to do that as well. So that's what I have to say. The last thing, though, is the one thing that gets people even more emotional is if you feel disrespected. So I don't want anybody to leave here thinking that you're disrespected. I think some of your comments did get a bit heavy-handed, especially with respect to, well, a bit heavy-handed. But if there are issues where your neighbors or friends have specific problems with the department staff, you can certainly call any of us, but I think the director has made it real clear that you can call him. We got Mr. Pizangra, and we've got a whole bunch of people right there in the front row. I think I can promise you that those issues will be dealt with, and if they're not, you call us, and that's what we're here for. So as we're going through this, hopefully kind of together, the last thing we need is to feel anybody feel disrespected, and I would like to let you know that I won't tolerate that, and I don't think anybody else on this panel will. So that's what I have to say.
Well, I've talked enough today, probably, but I just want to comment on the great comments that were just made by my colleagues on the commission. Well-rounded, very thoughtful, and I guess I would close with, like Commissioner Baker said, if you have some additional thoughts that you come up with Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you wanted to call or email, I would, from where I sit, I would not want to wait until next year to see or hear from you individuals again. If there's something we missed or you missed or you got some additional views, let's hear them in the interim so we can really try and move the ball down the field. I think that's what we're trying to say. So thank you all again.
Chairman?
Yes, sir. Quickly, please.
I speak on behalf of the 1,050 this four options that you guys, your game department, is promoting, you heard from a number of people here say that it's really not going to amount to harvest silver beans as far as extra casket. We've got a trajectory now of incidents. It's going like this. And if they don't take out any more cats, it's going to continue to go like that. And there it is. I mean, how simple is it? I mean, we need to do something about that, because if you stay the way it is or use one of these four options, it's going to go like that. Somebody's going to get hurt.
We all hear and understand you. Please understand, we want to be part of the solution, but we were not issued a magic wand to fix things instantly. We have the legislature, we have other laws that apply to what we do, so we have to go back now and figure out.
Okay, I understand that, and like I said, my first time around, the number got changed, the density got changed from 2.0 to 4.0 now on their plan. Okay, on their options. So if we can change it to 4.0, then why can't we change it to 7.0? And with that result in density, we'll get those numbers up to where maybe we're taking out enough cats, enough additional cats, to where we make a difference.
Thank you for your comments, all of you, and please drive carefully and get home safe.
Larry.
The director?
I'll make it quick. I just want to make sure that we don't leave with a Commissioner McIsaac in particular. You talked about the hound training effort and worried that it had been dropped. We actually championed a bill through the legislature last year to get that approved. That was really largely on the work of Becky Bennett and her enforcement group, working with Houndsmen's Association. We have to do a rule in order to implement that. That rule is underway, and it'll be in front of the commission. I wish I knew the date. I apologize, I don't. But very soon you'll see a rule for